Okay, we are ready to resume our post-council meeting today. We still have a quorum with us, and we will resume with our review of disciplinary cases. I believe the next case before us is Zachary Loveday. So, Mr. Yockey.
You good? Okay. This is in regards to the certification of Zachary Loveday, formerly employed with the Utah County Sheriff's Office. The substantiated allegation is sexual conduct on duty, which falls under category E. So again, just to remind the council, we have two different variations of sexual conduct on duty. One we drop to the category E, and one that's maintained at the B level. One's for physical conduct, and one is for more of the image. So this falls under the category E. Post the guideline baseline is 6 months. Post is recommending 3 months, and this is based on the actions of the individual. Summary of the facts are, this comes to us by way of waiver of the administrative law judge action, and the summary of the facts are as follows. Zachary Loveday obtained his SFO certification on September 12th, 2024. Loveday was attending basic training for his basic correction officer certification and began a sexual relationship with a fellow cadet. Between the dates of September 12th, 2024 and October 6th, 2024, during a BCO class, Loveday solicited and received a sexual image from the fellow cadet while in class and being compensated by the department. Loveday was terminated on October 6th, 2024. On November 12th, 2024, a Garrity interview with Post. During a Garrity interview with Post, Loveday admitted he was in class and that was being taught by the Utah Department of Corrections basic training staff when he solicited and received a sexual image from a fellow cadet. The fellow cadet stated the sexual relationship occurred during the middle to the end of the BCO basic training. Loveday was special functions officer certified at the time the fellow cadet sent, well, that he solicited the image and the image was sent.
Thank you. Any questions for Post? Appears Mr. Loveday is here. Did you wish to address the council? Okay, thank you, sir. We'll bring it back to the council for discussion or motion.
Jerry Garcia? That we accept Post recommendation of a 3 month suspension beginning the date of termination of 10/6/24.
Thank you. So, motion to accept Post recommendation, 3 month suspension beginning October 6th of 2024. Do we have a second? Sheriff Wimmer, second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And are there any opposed? That motion passes. And the next case is Stephen Luke Merkley.
This is the certification of Stephen Merkley, formerly employed with the Box Elder County Sheriff's Office. Substantiated allegation is BCI violation, which falls under category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 months. Post is recommending 3 months suspension, and this came to us by way of waiver. Stephen Merkley accessed the protected information of an acquaintance. The acquaintance was being criminally investigated for potential misconduct with a child. Merkley was terminated by his agency for accessing USCGIS information or Utah Criminal Justice Information System in violation of Utah Code annotated 5310-108-12, subsection 12A. During Garrity interviews with his department and Post, Merkley admitted to accessing the information of the acquaintance. Merkley stated he had been informed that the acquaintance had a protective order in place due to separate criminal investigation. Merkley stated he accessed the protected information as a protective father to see if there was reason for him to be concerned. Merkley said he had been in training that day, in the day in which he accessed the information.
Any questions for Post? Mr. Merkley, would you like to address the council?
I'm not Mr. Merkley. I'm Jason Sweat. I work at Nelson Jones, the firm supporting Mr. Merkley in this matter. He does not dispute any of the facts of the matter and is willing to accept Post's decision regarding his discipline.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Merkley's counsel? Okay, bring back to the council for discussion or motion.
I'll make a motion to accept Post's recommendation of a 3 month suspension dated July 25th, 2024.
Very good. Thank you, Chief Adams. Motion to accept the 3-month suspension beginning July 25th or 24th. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Stuart Young is second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And are there any opposed? That passes. The next case is Jason Nordstrom.
This is in regards to the certification of Jason Nordstrom, formerly employed with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. So abstained allegation is driving under the influence, which falls under Category D, the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline for Category D is 1-year suspension. Post is recommending a 1.5-year suspension based on the aggravating circumstances of a high breath alcohol content. This comes to us by way of default, and the facts are as follows. On June 21st, 2023, Jason Nordstrom was arrested for DUI of alcohol. Nordstrom was stopped by an outside agency for entering an interstate exit ramp going the wrong direction. Upon contact with Nordstrom, the investigating officer smelled the odor of alcohol and observed Nordstrom's eyes were red and glassy. The investigating officer also noted that Nordstrom spoke with a thick tongue. A second outside agency officer responded and administered standardized field sobriety test to Nordstrom. Nordstrom performed poorly on the standard field sobriety test and was arrested for DUI. The intoxilizer test showed Nordstrom had a breath alcohol content of 0.136. On August 2nd, 2023, Nordstrom no contest to the charge of impaired driving, Class B misdemeanor. During a non-Garrity interview over the phone with Post, Nordstrom stated that he does not contest any of the allegations or facts of this case and stated that he had met all of his plea agreement terms and conditions and paid all his fines.
Thank you. Any questions for Post? Mr. Nordstrom, would you like to address the council?
Yes, sir. One thing through going through all this has definitely taught me a lot about myself. With being in law enforcement for 22 years and also a military veteran, this has helped me open my eyes and get me some of the treatment that I've needed from the VA. Also, I'd like to express my gratitude and appreciation to the major for the UHP that's here for the professionalism that his officers handled my whole situation and the grace that they showed me in not bringing back to the facility that I was working at. With that said, I do miss a lot of the camaraderie that I have with law enforcement and do agree with the recommendations of Post, as what has been said before as far as the suspension for the time that I've been gone, and would request time served for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Nordstrom? Okay, bring it back to the council for a motion.
Motion to accept post recommendation and date of termination.
Okay, so John Crowley makes a motion to accept a 1.5-year suspension as recommended by Post, which would begin June 23rd of 23. We have a second.
Second
from Major Nyber. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next case is Gregory O'Hagan.
The certification of Gregory O'Hagan, currently employed with the Twilla County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is a BCI violation, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The guideline baseline is 3 months. Post is recommending, is downward deviating, down to a letter of caution. And this is due to the mitigating circumstances of there was no dissemination of the records. And the notes here is innocuous violation. So it will make more sense when I read the facts. So This comes to us by way of waiver, and the facts are as follows. On October 21st, 2024, Officer Gregory O'Hagan was investigated by his agents for accessing Utah Criminal Justice Information System, or CJIS, information without a criminal justice purpose. During an audit, the agency's TAC, which is the coordinator for UCJIS information, discovered O'Hagan had accessed his own name, personal vehicle record, and the name of a fellow officer from another agency. On October 28, 2024, during a Garrity interview with his agency, O'Hagan admitted he accessed the protected information because he was experiencing connectivity issues with his computer. He ran his own information to test the system to see if it was working correctly. O'Hagan stated that he also ran a fellow officer's information because they were personal friends and he knew the officer had some records on file.
Thank you. Any questions for Post? Sheriff Wimmer has recused himself.
And we do have, with Mr. O'Hagan, we do have a letter. Thank you, Captain. From Twilla County Sheriff's Office.
Mr. O'Hagan, would you like to, or your counsel like to address the spotting?
Good afternoon. Appreciate y'all's time. Everything that was said did happen. I was frustrated at 1 in the morning with some connectivity issues and just got frustrated and made a mistake, and I apologize. It was a lapse in judgment. I do know the BCI rules, and I went back through a UCJIS BCI refresher. This was roughly 6 months ago. No issues with my department since. Took some leave off, and then I do appreciate the letter of caution if that's still up for grabs, and I have no issues with my discipline. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any questions for Mr. O'Hagan? Okay, then we'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to accept post recommendation.
David Peterson moves for accepting post recommendation of a letter of caution. Do we have a second?
Second.
Stuart Young, second. Is there any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? That motion carries. The next case is that of Brad Pitkin.
The certification of Brad Pitkin, formerly employed with the Weber County Sheriff's Office. The sustained allegation is a Garrity violation, which falls under Category A of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline for Category A is revocation, and post is recommending the revocation. There are two instances of a Garrity violation in this matter. This comes to us by way of waiver, and the summary is as follows. Brad Pitkin was administratively investigated regarding a conversation he had with the Weber County Sheriff's Office intern. During 2 Garrity interviews with his agency, Pitkin denied speaking with the intern about certain topics. During the second interview, Pitkin admitted to previously providing false information. A Garrity violation was substantiated against Pitkin, and he was referred to post. Post substantiated the Garrity violations that occurred during the interviews with his agency.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Post? Mr. Pitkin, would you like to address this council?
I would, yeah. Thank you for hearing me out. I know I shouldn't be here, but I made a mistake. That incident, when it occurred, when Sergeant O'Bray asked me for my post-investigation, he asked me why it became from a small matter to such a hysterical matter. And at the time, I didn't have an answer for him, but upon reflecting it, it was my anxiety and my depression from my recent divorce that I had a few months prior. I was off my anxiety meds, my depression meds. I have since gone back onto those. I have since gone to a therapist who I've been seeing for about a year and a half now. Ever since this issue had occurred, I've been working on trying to be more honest with my now manager, my parents, my brother, anyone that I can be honest with. I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. Not going to come up with a fabricated story or anything like that. I know the reason why I'm here, and I sorrowfully regret that. And if I could speak to that high school intern, I would apologize for anything that I have said to her to make her uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form. I would try to make amends for that, and I know that what I told her cannot be changed, and what I told my lieutenant, my chief in the past, and my captain in the past cannot be changed, but I know I can learn from that. And I would just like to ask for maybe a suspension instead of revocation, in order for me to get more of my priorities straight and maybe try again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pitkin. Any questions for Mr. Pitkin? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council for a motion. Post is recommending a revocation based on the Garrity violation. Anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept Post's recommendation of revocation.
Chief Swanson moves for revocation, to accept Post's recommendation for revocation. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
John Crowley is a second. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Motion passes. And the next case before us is Rebecca Robinson.
The certification of Rebecca Robinson, formerly employed with the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office. This, and I apologize for my misspelling on there, I did not catch that. Sexual conduct not on duty, on duty. This falls under category B and E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 years. Post is recommending 3.5 years. And this is due to the, upward deviating due to the multiple offenses of sexual conduct on duty. This comes to us by way of waiver, and the summary of the facts are as follows. Rebecca Robinson was administratively investigated by her agency for engaging in sexual conduct while on duty. The conduct occurred while she was in the basic corrections officer course, or BCO course. Robinson admitted to the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office that she had performed oral sex on a fellow cadet while at the Fred House Training Academy. She was being compensated by her agency at the time. Robinson resigned from the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office in lieu of termination, and her case was sent to Post. Robinson told Post that she sent sexual images and performed oral sex on a cadet while on duty.
Thank you. Any questions for Post? It appears that Rebecca Robinson nor counsel is here. So to the counsel for motion. John Crowley is recusing himself on this case.
I'll make a motion to accept Post's recommendation of a 3.5 year suspension beginning on the date of termination, or excuse me, date of resignation.
Thank you. So Director Garcia motions to accept Post recommendation of a 3.5 year suspension, which would begin December 4th of 24. Do we have a second?
Second.
Chief Adams, any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? Okay, that motion passes. The next case is that of Vanessa Scow.
This is the certification of Vanessa Scow, formerly employed with the Grand County Sheriff's Office. Substantiated allegation is dishonesty in violation of policy, which falls under category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 6 months, and Post is recommending 6 months. This comes to us by way of default, and a summary of the facts are as follows. Vanessa Scow was administratively investigated by her agency for violating multiple agency policies. The agency investigation found that Scow made false statements to three supervisors regarding an image she posted on a social media site. The posted image and written caption suggested that Scow had urinated in a public place. When notified of the investigation, Scow told the sheriff, chief deputy, and her supervising sergeant that she was not worried about the investigation because it was only water on the ground. During an outside agency non-Garrity interview, Scow admitted to urinating in the parking lot. When Grand County Sheriff's Office discovered Scow had admitted to urinating, An additional administrative investigation was opened. Grand Canyon Sheriff's Office conducted a Garrity interview for the false statement as the interview began, but before signing the Garrity admonition, Scow was questioned about her knowledge and exposure to Garrity. She denied any prior exposure or knowledge of Garrity. The administrative investigator conducting the interview knew this to be a false statement because he had given Scow a Garrity admonition less than a year earlier due to a separate interview. Scow was terminated from the Grand Canyon Sheriff's Office for false statements she made.
Thank you. Any questions for Post? And Ms. Scow or Council, would you like to address this body?
Thank you, Council. Jason Sweat at Nelson Jones, representing Ms. Scow in this matter. I'm really glad we ate first because this is going to be a little unorthodox compared to the rest that came before. We're going to ask that this council set aside the default that was granted by Judge Catton, the ALJ, in this case. I did not go through all these processes another attorney in our firm did, but I have a very clear request for you folks and the authority by which you can do this. So just to share the barest, because I'd hate to, in this lengthy meeting, go into a really convoluted explanation of all that's transpired in the past several months. It's rather nuanced. I think I'll just get to the end, and hopefully if more needs to be filled in, we can definitely do that. But essentially, this is a question of service, of the notice of agency action that typically comes when the investigation is concluded, to then present the opportunity for the officer or deputy or whoever to request a hearing, relinquish their certification, waive it, or get defaulted. There was some confusion based on whether that was done properly or not. There's a lot of case law, and there's some very heavy motions back and forth with the tail end of this, but that's a legal issue that I'd rather not drag you all through in a legal treatise. The outcome from the judge on the latest of that process was, this isn't the final decision. That rests with Post Counsel. They are the highest authority collectively in this matter, not me deciding on a default. So I would, if that's true, and again, there's a little bit of legal back and forth that got us to this point, then the request today before you folks is, can you set aside the default and let her have her quote-unquote day in court? Because that hasn't happened yet. Just to give you a few more details that are kind of germane, there was an attempt to cure as soon as the default was issued, as in within 2 hours of the default being entered and being received by the client in our firm. And so here we are today trying to say, hey, there was no malicious attempt to not respond. There's just simply a lost in the mail scenario. And so the authority by which you have to do this is pretty established. And so there's a Supreme Court case that was cited by the ALJ in his decision to move it to you folks. It's a Frito-Lay case. I will give you the citation later if you need it. I have a big printout of it if you'd like to see it. But essentially that case is where the Supreme Court weighed in the balance the idea of an agency being able to undo a default, set it aside, and the only standard for that is for good cause. It is established that you can, that the final authority, which again, Judge Catton has passed this to you as the final authority, that is within your power, that you can do this. And in this case, we'd say that it's proper because essentially defaults are not favored, and the Supreme Court has repeatedly stated in various cases, one of which is Gilman v. Gilman, that default is not the preferred method, that it's important to provide substantive rights to the individuals, particularly for these administrative proceedings. So Ms. Gowanis and the firm is here asking you as a counsel to set aside the default, which was granted by Judge Catton, and what he has perceived to be the proper course of how he would act in those rules for the reasons which I stated, which was there was some quibbling, and there still is, rather, about the proper service. And we can get into that if you so choose, if you have questions about why, of course, the default was even entered. But again, I don't want to drag you through so much history. The point is, you have the opportunity to give her her day in court, to let her, I mean, worst case scenario, she goes and loses there, right? That the hearing the evidence, that the judge can decide, no, I don't, you know, here you go to the next available post counsel. That has been removed from my client. And so we would say that that's improper. We would like to establish that. And so we'd ask you as a post counsel to make a motion to set aside the default judgment. And indeed, I got to be very clear on this. You do have the authority to do this. I doubt you've done it very often, but this is the request that we're coming with today.
And I'll instruct you that you do not have the authority to set it aside. You must accept the ALJ's findings, and under your own rules, you do not sit in review of the ALJ.
So we
definitely have some counter to that. If you'd care to hear sort of some of the legal background why we think that's the case. Essentially, the rules that are being cited, it gets to whether the rules of civil procedure are binding or not binding. And it seems to be, this is a case where I think based on where we've come with the ALJ to this day is kind of a having your cake and eating it too scenario, whereas they don't apply. That's why it's a hard and fast, we're going to move on to the next step. But if you do take the rules of civil procedure, you can request that the entity making that decision about the default is that the authority in that case, and so that they would be able to set that aside. And they have great latitude to do so. The point is that even more than the courts, which are very much bound by the rules of civil procedure, where this rule is transplanted into the UCA 63G-4-20933A, right? This is where kind of we're talking about the procedures outlined in the Utah Rules of Civil Procedure that are transplanted into sort of the procedural rules that you all are bound by. We would point out that it can't be this circle. The ALJ can't say, I'm not the final word, the post counsel is, and then to have an individual here say, well, that's the final word was the ALJ, because somebody has to be the final word. And in his motion to deny setting aside the default that we submitted, he said it was because that's not the final order. So one of these things has to be not true. And if the ALJ is saying that there's indeed the final authority in post matters is post counsel, not me, then we come to you to ask this request. And so the shall language is interesting. This should have been heard last quarter's meeting. It was unilaterally pulled from the agenda, not by us, but by post counsel. And so it's a matter of getting it before you within the time frame to request that reconsideration. We feel we're well within the bounds of logical law and, of course, the rules to say that you do have the authority to do this. You don't have to abide by what the ALJ said. We, of course, made the argument to the ALJ that he had the opportunity to cure it at the time. He declined to do so, ultimately saying, this isn't the final say on this. You need to ask a reconsideration of post-counsel. So we would say that you have the authority and that you can abdicate that authority back to the ALJ if he's not indeed the final authority. It would make no sense if a step in the process could not be cured by the ultimate authority in that process, I guess, is the logical following there. So if you're all bound by the ALJ to such a degree that whatever is said there is the end of it all, then Judge Catton got it wrong because he should have been then required to analyze the arguments that we're making and then to set aside the default and cure it based on all the information I just provided, the Supreme Court case law and other things.
Mr. Jorgensen, anything?
You still can't. Reconsideration can be done from a final order. Yours is a final order. They inappropriately asked for reconsideration of not the final order. So they asked for reconsideration. You can't ask for reconsideration because it's not a final order. They moved to set aside the default. The ALJ found that there was not good cause to set aside the default. And then they filed another motion, which was what bumped it from the calendar. Because there was a pending reconsideration that hadn't been decided, it wasn't right for you to review. Now that it's right for you to review, you have to accept what the ALJ found was that she was in default and there was no good cause to set it aside. It is kind of a back and forth between your statute and your rule says you do not sit in review of the ALJ's decision and you must accept the findings of the ALJ. His decision is entirely eligible for appeal, but only after you make the order final. We do not determine the facts, we just determine the sanction. The facts are, as decided by the ALJ, that she was in default and that the motion to set aside was not supported by good cause and that the reconsideration was not proper because it wasn't a final order, because this is the final order.
Thank you. Any questions from the council?
Just for my own peace of mind, maybe my own ignorance, can Post walk me through the efforts to contact someone in order to ensure that they don't default?
My officer can as well. So Post sends out, as required by Utah Admin Code R728-409, we are required to send out certified mail. So in this case, we send a certified letter to the individual. It was not picked up. We had sent previous correspondence. which was accepted. This one was not accepted, and then we sent post correspondence that was accepted. So we did send certified mail. It was rejected or just not picked up. We do have this. This is the order from the judge regarding where Mr. Jorgensen is talking about the different orders. So we do have an order from the judge regarding an order on a motion to set aside a default. So the judge ordered the default based on the 30-day lapse. So an individual has 30 days after we send out a notice of agency action as per Utah, so UAPA, the Utah Administrative Procedures Act, and also based on our rules. In this case, they did not respond within the 30-day time period. They did file an order to, an order of default was entered, was sent out, and then they requested a motion to set aside that default. The judge ordered, in this case, to not grant that. If we scroll down, it says the order is, the set aside is hereby denied, and then it gives reasons as to why it was denied and failed to provide good faith. They at that point then sought a reconsideration, and that's where it sits, is that reconsideration. The judge said, hey, that's the reconsideration isn't my thing. That's what post counsel has to deal with. We actually have to have a final order on the actual thing to deal with the reconsideration. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but
I guess then the question is, so he orders us to reconsider, but we're not allowed to reconsider?
No, so your decision can be reconsidered.
Okay, our final decision can be reconsidered. Yes. But we don't get to reconsider.
But you don't get to send it back to the ALJ because you're required to accept his findings and you do not sit in review of him by your own rules.
So that's the crux. So just to kind of flesh in, and again, this is very important. I guess we'll have to go a little bit back further in time. So Jeremy Jones is the attorney who was assisting Ms. Scow in this matter, had not made a formal appearance. Again, so the problem with this is there's rules that everybody understands from civil procedure, and then there's the rules of administrative law, which are a lot looser. And in as much as you do follow the rules of civil procedure generally, and you can correct me, any attorney in the room, if I'm misstating this, it's where it's transplanted into the administrative procedure by reference, and that happens in this case about defaults, that if defaults happen, you can do those under the rules of civil procedure, which is why I said have your cake and eat it too. Civil procedure requires acceptance of service. There's a lot of specific rules of how service happens. The rules for post is that it's mailed by certified mail alone. It doesn't go into details of the logical idea that if you're sending it by certified mail, it's so that you can ensure that the person actually got it. So there's some discrepancy in the record as to whether or not our office got an email, because they had a red receipt happen when it occurred to our attorney. But again, if we're going to live in civil procedure land, that wouldn't have been sufficient because it wasn't a formal acceptance of service and he wasn't even formally entered in the matter in any way that would normally work in the civil procedure world. Although people know that Nelson Jones is heavily involved in these issues and they reach out to us regularly. I'm not saying that's not the case. I'm just saying if we're going by the rules, service never happened. The notice of agency action not only didn't reach her, they had evidence that it did not. And they didn't pick up the phone, knowing that we're the attorneys sometimes involved, and say, hey, Jeremy, we're going to move for a default. Did you even get the thing or do you have any interest? That didn't happen. It just moved towards default. So within 2 hours of the default being entered, where Jeremy and Ms. Scow definitely got word, Jeremy first and then going to find the client, the judge declined to set aside the default, saying 30 days ran. So there's a lot of information in the motions that are not in your packets about how improper the whole actions of the judge were under the rules of civil procedure.
Yes. Post followed the statute, which was to serve the officer by mail, and they also followed their own rule to send the notice by certified mail. UAPA requires just mailing. Their own rule requires certified mail. That was done.
So fine, but the information that I'm providing is what was provided as to the judge, because this is information that was provided to him and he made a decision on. Now being provided to you as the final arbiter. According to his last denial of the motion to reconsider, that it was not properly followed because you have to follow some of the tenets of civil procedure to address those issues if you're going to utilize the civil procedure hard and fast. And if you're going by just the rules that it was mailed, you're ignoring all of the case law that kind of explains what service means and how that's executed. So we have a disagreement on the facts there. Again, why didn't...
Thank you. Where is that in this order? This This is that order that you're talking about?
This order is simply, this is a default, and that's the only thing we have here in front of us. This all happened between the judge and our...
So that's not actually in the written order?
Not in the initial order that we were told it's what you come here to get the request for consent.
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, no, so you're right.
You're talking about what the judge said, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at this right here. Is there another order after this?
Yes.
Two.
Okay. So why don't we pull that up to look at it?
Well, there's the, from my understanding...
I believe we have enough information to make a decision, right? We have our counsel that advises us as a counsel, and I think it's appropriate for us. And I appreciate what you're saying. And obviously, that's our decision is subject to appeal, and you certainly have that right, which is great. We do have, as Mr. Jorgensen has notify us, we do have rules that we operate under as a council, and those rules state that we accept the ruling of the ALJ. And in this case, the ALJ has ruled that it's a default, which, Mr. Jorgensen, unless I'm mistaken, which simply means that we then rely on what's in the notice of agency action pertinent to the violation, make a decision about that, and then if the officer chooses, they have the ability to appeal.
I was just laying the legal framework, however that played out, and I would really feel it would be amiss if Ms. Scow didn't have the opportunity. So just to kind of recap my comments, I feel like the argument's clear that you do have the authority and should not abdicate it to review the default, and that the harm to be suffered here is that she doesn't have the opportunity to actually address the underlying issues. She will speak now to you herself, and I'll slide ahead. But thank you for your time and listening.
Thank you.
So yeah, my case has been a mess. it sounds like today that you guys will just be doing my case, not any of the default stuff, which I've been confused quite a bit about as well. I just didn't ever get notification. That's why I didn't move forward with my appeal in the beginning. I did receive an email saying that it was in default. That's when we tried to move forward with an appeal then, and my attorney said that the 30 days had passed. So I accept that. It happened. It was an unfortunate event. As far as my case with the dishonesty with agency, I recognized, and even when I came up here for post, I recognized then that I fully did not know what was stated back and forth between the sheriff and I, my opinion, it was a misunderstanding. There was a lot of things that were happening in that meeting. It wasn't just the urinating in a parking lot. There were many things that happened in that meeting. And so I think they just told me it's no big deal. You know, it's you're going to be put under investigation. That's when you're going to tell everything. So I think in my mind that we were just being lighthearted with each other. Like they stated, when I was put under investigation, of course, I was fully honest about urinating in a parking lot. I was off duty. I did it. Inappropriate. Made a joke, and that joke of a wet spot, not even me, in the parking lot peeing, got turned into something, I think, much bigger than what it was. And so I think that, you know, today I definitely have realized social media will get you in trouble. Just trying to be playful or being human, I think we all just kind of make humanly mistakes. There was never any intent, no intent for me to be dishonest with my agency. And I really had no idea when they came back, even under Garrity, I had no idea what was said in the meeting. But under investigation, of course, I knew what the truth was, and I told the truth. And so if I know that the recommendation is 6 months of my certification being suspended, I would just ask that maybe you guys would consider a letter of caution in my situation. There's just been a lot of moving parts to it, and but I own what I did and just want to move forward from this whole mess that it's been.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Scow? Sheriff?
What? in law enforcement?
I'm currently not. They terminated me. And City of Moab, I kind of talked to them a little bit, but I didn't want to just jump back into it. Like I said, there's many moving parts in this. And being in Grand County, jumping into the city with a sheriff that is not very happy probably wouldn't have been the wisest idea to do. So I've been looking at possibly going down south towards St. George area. But there's my home. I was born and raised in Moab. The community has been a huge, huge part of my life. So it's been a hard decision. So I'm currently working at the hospital, not law enforcement. So.
Yes, Sheriff Wimmer for motion.
Unless anyone else had a comment. I'm ready to accept Post's recommendation going back to her termination date in 2023.
So we have a motion to accept the recommendation of Post for a six-month suspension beginning on December 13th of 23. Do we have a...
So December 11th is what's pled in the post vacancy action. So I would ask that it be December 11th. 2023.
I'll accept that friendly amendment.
Okay. So the beginning of the suspension would be December 11th, 2023. Do we have a second?
Second.
Stuart Young has a second. Any discussion on that motion?
So time's been served.
Time would have been served. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed?
Thank you guys for your time.
The next matter is Larry Tuescher.
Yes.
The next matter is the certification of Larry Tuescher. Currently employed with the Springville Police Department. Substantiated allegation is a BCI violation, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 months. Post is recommending 6 months, and the reason for the upward deviation is due to the aggravating circumstances of dissemination and multiple offenses. This comes to us by way of waiving the administrative law judge proceeding, and the facts are as follows. Larry Tuescher accessed protected government records regarding his ex-wife's boyfriend and solicited another officer to access protected records on the same party. Tuescher interviewed with his agency and under Garrity with Post and did not dispute that he had accessed the records in both interviews. Tuescher said that he accessed the records because he thought his ex-wife's boyfriend had a suspended driver's license after being arrested for DUI. He disseminated the protected information to his ex-wife.
Any questions for Post? Mr. Tuescher or counsel wish to address the body?
First, I just want to apologize to my chief, the Springville Police Department, and everyone sitting here in this room right now. In my almost 14-year career, I never thought I'd be standing here today. I'm embarrassed, disappointed in myself. And I know I let my department down. I accept full responsibility and accountability for my actions, and I know why I'm standing here today. I took an oath when I got into this career and violated that oath. I put my feelings before the badge and made a mistake. A mistake I have to live with the rest of my career. When they took the badge off of me, when this whole thing started, it was one of the hardest days of my life. I've had a lot of time to reflect and commit. And I'm committed now, more than ever, to respect and honor my profession and the oath I swore 2 years ago. And I promise this won't happen again. I know my choices come with consequences, but I'm pleading for mercy at this time. I'm asking if there's any way you could give me a 3-month suspension instead of a 6-month so I can put that badge back on as soon as possible and bring honor back to the community I serve, the department I work for, and most importantly, the badge I wear. Again, I want to just thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a note that there is a letter from his agency, Springville.
We'll take a few minutes to review that letter, but are there any questions for Mr. Tuescher or his counsel? Are there any questions after reviewing the letter? I'll be back to the council then for a motion. Chief Swanson?
I make a motion to downward deviate to the 3-month suspension based on his honesty and also the support he's obviously got from his chief and department.
So that would be a 3-month suspension beginning 12/23/24.
Second.
We have a second from John Crowley and from Janita. We have 2 seconds. So the motion is to reject post recommendation for a 6-month suspension and instead issue a 3-month suspension to begin December 23rd of 24. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? That motion carries. And I am going to recuse myself in this next case and hand the microphone over to Vice Chair Swanson.
Can you hear me now? All right. Next case is Garrett Tremia. Garrett here? He's here.
This is a certification of Garrett Tremia. On a what? So, counsel, unfortunately, it appears there was a mistype on our information. Tuescher was placed on a paid administrative leave from November 26th to December 20th, in that capacity. So I don't know if you guys wanted to take that into consideration. So
thus far we have utilized the date of termination, which I think is consistent with what the motion was, but we will entertain a new motion if you want a reconsideration.
He wasn't terminated, he was just demoted.
Demoted to a civilian position.
And I think that's where the or comes in, right? Last able to exercise police powers would have been December 23rd of 24.
Or November 26th was that, wasn't allowed to exercise powers at that time.
I think at this point we would need a motion to reconsider if anybody wants to reopen the matter, reconsider. Seeing no motion, we'll move forward.
I apologize. Moving back to the certification of Garrett Tremia. He is formerly employed with the Davis County Sheriff's Office. Substantiated allegation is sexual conduct while on duty. This falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 years. Post is recommending 3-year suspension, and this comes to us by way of default. Garrett Tremia was administratively investigated by his agency for engaging in sexual conduct while on duty. He admitted to receiving oral sex from a fellow cadet while they were at the Fred House Training Academy. Tremia was being compensated by his agency at the time. His employment with the Davis County Sheriff's Office was terminated as a result of his conduct. Tremia also participated in a Garrity interview with Post and admitted to the sexual conduct while on duty.
Any questions for Post?
Can Post kind of explain a little? So we've got Garrett Tremia, sexual conduct on duty, 3-year suspension, right? We have a Rebecca Robinson, 3.5 years. You got Zachary Loveday is only a 3-month. Then you got Nolan Freestone that is also 3.5 years.
So when it's, as I stated earlier, so this is a Category B. If it's for physical conduct, physical contact, such as intimate relations, sex on duty, and not just sexual images, then we go under Category B. As discussed, I believe it was last post council or two post council ago? Last post council.
I think it was last post council.
We changed the sexual images to a Category Echo, and the reason being is because it, the council felt that it wasn't as egregious for such conduct. And so that's why we have the discrepancy as far as the 3 years down to the lower end. In regards to the Miss Robinson, the in that regard, it was because there was multiple violations. We have both Category B and E because she engaged in the oral sex and then also distributed the images. Does that satisfy?
Yep. Thank you.
Any other questions for Post? Mr. Tremia, would you like to address us?
All right. Thank you, everybody, for your time. It's been a long afternoon. I'm sure it has been for you guys as well. But thank you again. I would like to thank Sheriff Sparks for the opportunity that I had. I'm sorry that I blew it. The only thing that I would like to ask, I know that I certainly do deserve time away from law enforcement as a career. I do ask that it is not for the rest of my life, you know. Long term, I'll take whatever you give me. A little bit of grace is always appreciated. Ever since it came out, I've been open and honest and tried to live the life that I should have been living from the beginning and not doing things like this. That's everything. Thank you for your time.
Are there any questions for Mr. Tremia? Seeing none, I turn to council for a motion.
Accept post 3 year suspension beginning the date of termination.
I have a motion from Director Garcia.
Second.
A second from John Crowley. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. The next matter is Marco Yovera.
Final matter before the post council is the certification of Marco Yovera, formerly employed with the South Salt Lake Police Department. Substantiated allegation is sexual conduct while on duty. This falls under Category E. So the again, Lieutenant Crowley, just going back to the difference B and E. So this is an echo for images. The guideline baseline is 6 months. The recommendation is 6 months, this comes to us by way of waiver. Summary of the facts are as follows. Marco Yovera was investigated by his agency for distributing distribution of an intimate image. On October 26, 2024, Yovera created a picture that had a face of a coworker on a nude male and sent it to a different coworker by text message. The next day, Yovera sent the picture to a second coworker where they were both on duty. Yovera also showed the victim the picture while at work. During a Garrity interview with Post, Yovera admitted to creating the picture of a nude male and placing the face of the victim over the face of the nude male and sending the pictures to the coworkers.
Any questions for Post? Mr. Yovera or counsel, would you like to address the board?
Thank you, counsel. My name is Jeremy Diaz. I represent Mr. Yovera. Mr. Yovera will speak in just a moment. I think whenever somebody's making a decision, I think the best thing to make a good decision is always more information. To give a little bit more additional context, the victim in this case, the individual whose face was placed on this image, and this image is a well-known meme. If obviously we're not going to show it, but if some of you saw it, I think a lot of you probably have seen it in some context. It's the subject of gag gifts. People will buy a puzzle that they'll have that'll show a Christmas tree on the puzzle. And then when people put together the image, the puzzle, it's this image. And that's what he put on there. This was an individual whose face was put on there that Mr. Rivera had a pretty extensive relationship with. It came about because this individual was subject to an additional South Salt Lake investigation. And in that, to defend himself, I think, and turn it onto the department, this individual reported it to South Salt Lake, and that's how Mr. Rivera got brought into it. Mr. Rivera has never lied about what happened. He was open in the internal investigation. He was open with Post. Mr. Rivera is a good officer. He's someone who hasn't had many issues. He has a lot of support. I just received three letters from prior supervisors that I'd like to read into the record. The first is from Aldo Montez, Sergeant for the South Salt Lake Police Department. Greetings, Post Council. I'm writing to offer my support of Marco Rivera as he goes before the Post Council.
Is this from his employer?
From his employer, yes.
The former employer. This is a past supervisor from South Salt Lake. Okay. And I should note, just briefly while we talk about it, I know it says agency action terminated. I don't know if it's really going to make much of a difference here, but Mr. Rivera actually resigned. I was there for that. So going back to the letter from Sergeant Aldo Montez of the South Salt Lake Police Department. Greetings, Post Council. I'm writing to offer my support of Marco Rivera as he goes before the Post Council regarding the recent incident involving an inappropriate meme. I work closely with Marco as he was a member of my honor guard unit at South Salt Lake Police, and during that time I found him to be a person of strong character and professionalism. While I understand that the meme in question was inappropriate and has caused harm, I know that Marco deeply regrets his actions and recognizes the mistakes or bad choices he made. Marco's always been someone who strived to contribute positively to our community and work environment during his time at South Salt Lake Police. Marco is thoughtful, hardworking, and committed to personal and professional growth. I've seen firsthand his dedication to improving, and I believe he is genuinely remorseful for his lapse in judgment. Since the incident, Marco has expressed his intent to learn from his experience and to make amends where possible. I believe that this was an isolated mistake or bad choice, and in no way does it reflect his usual behavior or values. Marco has the potential to continue contributing positively to any community he is a part of, and I fully support him as he moves forward from this incident. Thank you for considering this letter and your review of Marco's situation. Sincerely, Aldo M. Montez. Another letter from Sergeant Dan Child of the UPD. To whom it may concern, I am a sergeant.
I have to object on that one. If UPD is not his employer, it can only be from his employing agency.
He was on the SWAT team. This is somebody who was his supervisor while he was engaging in SWAT.
Natural SWAT team.
Okay. To whom it may concern, I am a sergeant and team leader for the UPD SWAT team. Marco Rivera was a probationary team member from September 13th, 2024 to January 1st, 2025. In my capacity, I was able to watch Rivera develop and perform his duties as a probationary team member. He showed genuine compassion for the job. I trusted him to get the job done and to look after his teammates. Please take this letter into consideration. Thank you for your time. Respectfully, Sergeant Dan Child, UPD. This one's from South Salt Lake, his prior agency. This is Sergeant Joe Cetera. Utah Post Council, I'm writing to provide my perspective regarding the upcoming hearing of Marco Rivera. As Marco's patrol supervisor.
So we're allowed to hear comments from their employing agency. Are these officers speaking upon themselves or as an employing agency?
So I don't know that specifically.
It's not appropriate to parade a bunch of letters from coworkers. It has to be from the agency as the agency.
I don't think any of these individuals are speaking on behalf of South Salt Lake.
Okay, then it has to be on behalf of the employing entity. It can't be as a supervisor or whatever. It has to be on behalf of the department. So I would ask you not to continue.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. In any event, he has the support of several officers who know him and know his character. This was a poor mistake. He acknowledges that it was a poor mistake. I think when the council is looking at what to do with Mr. Rivera. I think a letter of caution is appropriate here. It falls in line with some of the other council's rulings. One off the top of my head is, I believe it was Elizabeth Bennett from the last post council who was found taking naked pictures of herself and sending it unsolicited to other people. She got a letter of caution as well. Mr. Rivera was placed on administrative leave on December 16th of 2024. Again, he resigned on December 27th of 2024, and he spent the last 3 months in deep remorse and regret for what he did. This was a very hard lesson learned for him. I believe he's learned that lesson. The last 3 months that he's been outside of law enforcement, I believe, is sufficient punishment for him, and I think it's best to get him back on the street. With that, I'll turn it over to Marco.
Thank you, Council. Appreciate your guys' time and allowing me, giving me the opportunity to speak. I want to say that I'm truly disappointed in myself. I'm ashamed for what I did. I never intended to offend anyone or gain any sexual gratification from anything. I take full accountability. I'm owning up to my mistake. I know it was a bad choice. And I stand in front of you today to own up to my mistake and take full accountability. I also want to apologize to my agency, my supervisors, and everybody that I let down. This has been a hard lesson for me in my life. It's affected me, my family, financially, emotionally. If one thing I'm looking at in the positive way, it has brought me close to my faith again and my beliefs. And for that, I am grateful. I want to put all this behind me. I want to move on from all of this. And I just want an opportunity to go back to law enforcement doing what I love to do the most. This job means a lot to me. I'm passionate about it. I love everything that entitles being a police officer. After guarding my family, this profession means everything to me. And I would love to go back to doing what I love to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Rivera or his counsel? Okay, and we'll bring it back to the body for a motion.
Sheriff Wimmer?
I guess a question, I guess. So this was really horseplay. Is that an accurate description of what occurred here? Or a tasteless practical joke, I guess, is what it really was?
If that's a question for us, I would say yes. And it was something that happened amongst an isolated group of individuals who oftentimes hung out outside of work.
I regret my decision. It was a lapse in judgment. I regret it every day. I think about why I created that picture. I just wanted to be funny and play a joke with my friends. And a month later, it came up.
And just for clarification from both sides, when discussing it with the victim, they did not see it as horseplay, but that's from the victim's side.
And that was going to be my next question is, obviously someone got offended by this. I assume it's the person with the face pasted on the photograph.
Yeah, that would
be. Okay, it wasn't like a third party person that was offended.
And I'll have my investigators speak to that.
Dave Barnett with Post. Yeah, the individual that was the victim, his face was put on that, did speak to us and say it offended him. And it was the actual person that Mr. Rivera has been talking about. So.
And I, again, that's why I got into the context that I got into. This was something where it didn't come about until that individual was being investigated by the agency for something different. And then he turned it back on the agency and said, hey, look, you're not protecting me in this. This is an image that I got. So it was a part of a big thing. It wasn't something where he received the image, got offended, and went and reported it. In my mind, as Mr. Rivera's representative, it was a play for a certain amount of leniency in his own personal investigation.
He's not going down alone syndrome.
Hallelujah.
So how much time lapsed between when your client paced at the face of this gentleman that was under investigation, I'm guessing similar?
So it, my understanding, and maybe the Post investigator can speak more to this, and maybe my client can speak more into this. My understanding is that it was sent within a matter of a couple of weeks, and then the investigation into this other individual started, and then it came out. I think this all happened rather quickly within the matter of a month and a half from sending the message to then a short time later the investigating starting with this individual, and then the image coming about, and then going into Officer Yovera. That's my understanding of it.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, back to the council for a motion.
Make a motion.
Yes, John Crowley.
With the letters of support, the fact that this was done as not intent per se for sexual gratification as sex on duty would normally be, that it's more of a horseplay thing, downward deviation of the standard 3-month suspension from a 6-month suspension starting from the time of termination.
Okay, so John Crowley makes a motion for to accept Post recommendation of a 6-month suspension.
No. Downward deviation. Sorry. 3 months.
Reject Post recommendation for a 6-month suspension and instead issue a 3-month suspension beginning December 27th of 24.
That's when it is the termination date, yes.
I'll second that.
And Maya Lou is the second. Any discussion on that motion?
I just wanted to reiterate that he was on admin suspension as of the 16th. Whether that makes a difference or not, I just wanted to remind.
Thank you. Does that make a difference?
Not to me.
Any additional discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that concludes our disciplinary cases. Just want to again thank all the council members for your work on these cases and our investigators for putting them together. It's a heavy agenda today, and these things are always a bit difficult, but thanks for your work there. We'll now turn the time over to Director Reese for a review of a sexual assault model policy.
During the 2024 session, House Bill 322 passed. Tasked Post with producing a model sex crimes investigations policy. Hopefully, you've had a chance to review that. We worked with the committee, and we hopefully the summary, my summary message helped kind of sum it all up. But since the large majority of agencies use the Lexpol policy and they had a fairly robust policy in place, that's where the committee started from, and just I'd say built on that and improved it. So I was rather than go over everything, I would just ask if there was any questions before you vote on it.
I've reviewed it, and we're on that phone compared to ours. It's pretty similar with just a few good additions, so appreciate your work on it.
I didn't see anything objectionable in the proposed, at least in the draft. So
I have to apologize, Sheriff.
I think I sent it to the wrong email address for you to review.
I wish that were true. I got it.
Okay.
But I didn't.
I take that back.
No. I did not get to it till last night, but I did read through it last night. And so my apologies for not getting back to you sooner.
Okay, I did get it to Sheriff Glover, and he got the thumbs up from the Sheriff's Association and the Chiefs Association. I think we got a good look at it from everybody, and I think it'll be a good resource for our stakeholders.
And do we need a motion to accept or approve?
Yes, we do.
So motion.
So Alan Swanson makes a motion to approve the model sexual assault policy.
Second.
And Chief Adams, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
All right. Next matter of business is just scheduling our next meeting. We usually look towards middle of June. I think June 26th is the third Thursday in that month. But open to any other suggestions.
I would struggle making the 26th.
Okay. What's a better day for you, Sheriff?
The 12th. Just because the 19th is Juneteenth. Of course, it's not being observed that day. I haven't determined whether that's the day we get off or not.
I think the 12th is a Sheriff's Association meeting day.
We can use one meeting to get out then.
Does not have to be on a Thursday.
I love meetings.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
25th or 18th? Those are Wednesdays.
25th?
I can do that.
Anybody have an issue with June 25th? 10 a.m.?
10 a.m. I may have to send a representative.
Okay, are you okay with that? We can look for another day.
Is there any
possibility? The what? 16th?
18th.
18th would be difficult for me. Sorry.
Wednesdays are harder for me. 10 to 12. I have a meeting at the Capitol.
And, I mean, I love being here, but if 26th works for y'all,
I'm confident we can find a time that works for everybody. What about the 24th, Tuesday the 24th?
Going once?
I'm seeing nods. I think we found a winner. Tuesday the 24th, 10 a.m.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you for that motion. We'll stand adjourned.